exorcism, I guess you could say. A friend of mine called me up and said, there's a bird attacking the house. So I had to go see what was going on, because I thought he was exaggerating a little. He said, whatever room I'm in, it starts banging into the window, into the room I'm in. And, you know, you hear birds flying into windows and stuff like that, you know. But this happened to be a cardinal, okay, which throws off red flags for me as far as spiritual unclean things go. And it seemed weird. So I went over there. He said, why don't you come over and holler at it for me, you know. And I said, okay, I'll come on over. So I went over there, and sure enough, I get there, and he's in the bathroom upstairs. And it's just a little window about this big in the bathroom. And this bird is just, bam, flying into the window and then going and landing and then, bam, flying back into the window, you know, and he was doing that repeatedly. So, you know, I went up there and went up to the bird, and I'm like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this is right out in the middle of his yard, you know, and the bird's like, just flew off, and I was like, oh, that was easy, you know. And then I heard it again, and it was sitting in the tree back here, and now I walked up to the door. I was going to go in the house, and now it started hitting the big picture window. Right? So I did it again. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I got on my knees, and I bound all the spirits and casted them out in Jesus' name and covered the house in the shed blood, and he flew away. And I was like, oh, that was too easy. So I went inside to start talking, and we were sitting down talking about it, and Dennis is like, hey, your bird's back. And it wasn't hitting the windows or nothing, and I looked. It had got in my van and was pecking the mirrors and just, you know, pooping all over the thing, all over inside the van. I couldn't believe it. So I don't think I did too good on my first one. But I don't know if that's an idea of my spirituality or not. But no, he ended up leaving, but he was still hitting the house. And then yesterday, another bird started hitting his house. A robin started hitting his house too, you know. So I don't know what's going on. Oh, yeah, he has these little crystals that he dangles in front of his windows. And I think maybe that it's the way the light hits the crystals and maybe makes it look like a bug, you know, flying across the windows. Because that happens to be the two windows that they're hitting. He has crystals hanging in the windows. Yeah, I told him to take the crystals down, you know. But, you know, it's sentimental to him, I guess. But anyway, that was my exciting week. Casting out birds. Anyway, we're talking about rightly dividing, and we're going through the different dispensations or the covenants, okay? And the key to understanding this book is to know how to rightly divide it. If you can't rightly divide this book, you're going to get all messed up, and you're going to end up in some denomination doing what you're told, when what to say and when to say it, what you can read and what you can't read, because you're going to... be a threat to that system if you rightly divide, okay? And we're going through these dispensations, and we talked about these dispensations, how the dispensations are not clear-cut, okay? That's where Schofield was wrong, okay? The Bible really is divided into covenants, and the dispensations fall within those covenants, okay? And as we talked about before, there's transitional periods where it looks like two different dispensations overlap each other. Like, you know, the old covenant was on the way out, but in Jesus' ministry, he was bringing in the new covenant, okay? So you had a transition period through there where they were under the law, but he was bringing in grace. He was preparing the people. That, remember we talked about that's what John's job was to do, was to prepare the way for the Messiah, okay? And we had another transition in Hebrews, another one in Acts, and we talked about how easy it is to, it really is easy to grasp them, but it's not so easy to teach them, okay? Because you might say some things that are wrong, and I need to apologize for last week. I've got to correct myself, because it's been bugging me all week long. And we were in 1 Thessalonians 4, and we were talking about the rapture. And I said it completely wrong, and that's why I was getting a bunch of deer in the headlights and borderline heresy there. Thanks, Josh. And what I meant to say about that, what I should have said about that, let's turn back to there, okay? In order to understand this passage completely, this King James Bible is very accurate. You have to pay attention to every comma, to every period, to every colon. And Brother Glenn, you were right. At the end, where there's a colon, that is a sentence. Okay, but they don't use a period, they use a colon. Why? Because the next sentence is connected with the sentence prior to the colon. Okay? I'll give you an example. If you have a list, you always put grocery list, colon, and then you put all of the items. Okay? The sentence that comes after the colon describes what precedes the colon in detail. Okay? What I said last week was that the sentence precedes the passage prior to the colon, which was wrong, which made it sound like I said that the church was going to go up before the Lord descends and before the archangel shouts and all that good stuff. Okay? That's not what I should have said. What I should have said is that the sentence after the colon, and if you want to look at it, okay, it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, colon. Okay? In the trump of God, colon. Okay? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That describes what took place before the colon. In detail. So that's what God's telling us here now. He's describing verse 16. He's describing what happened prior to this colon. Okay, so what happens during the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God? This is what happens. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then there's another colon which connects the next sentence to that description. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with them in the clouds, and so on and so forth. So what that's saying there, and this is the only point I was trying to make, okay, is that the tribulation is Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble, okay? And some things happen here. The rapture is actually a judgment, okay? It comes with the trump of God, okay? Now, we don't suffer judgment, okay? We judge ourselves in this dispensation, amen? We judge our own sin, okay, and then we confess it, and then we're forgiven. He's good and faithful, amen? Okay, that's what we do now. We're not under judgment. Our sin was dealt with at Calvary, amen? Okay, so you have to judge yourself, all right? As a son of God, you have to judge yourself in order to get back into fellowship with him when you break that fellowship, okay? So this is the point I was trying to make about that, okay? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, we learned that Michael is the archangel, okay? And that he represents Israel, all right? Now, Michael the archangel is not going to come down and yell to the church, okay? He's going to shout to the nation of Israel. So what I was trying to say there is that it looks like possibly that the Lord himself shall descend, and then the church goes up, and then Michael the archangel shouts with the trump of God to kick off the tribulation. That's what I was trying to get at, okay? So I don't see this and that anymore, so it must be a little bit clearer this time. But like I said, it's a lot easier to grasp it than it is to actually put it out there in a way that other people can understand it. So please forgive me on that. But anyway, so we're talking about the tribulation, okay? The tribulation starts with the rapture, okay? And the trump of God is the beginning of that judgment, okay? So it begins with the rapture. Now, some more things about the tribulation, okay? Some more things about the tribulation. There are judgments during this tribulation, okay? You have, number one, you have the church being judged, okay? The church is being judged, but not here on earth. Okay. Number two, you have Israel being judged. We're going to go through these, okay? And number three, you have the nations being judged, okay? And number four, you have the religious system of the world being judged, okay? So let's look at the judgment of the church. Now, people, I got into a debate with a preacher from California. He's one of these patriot types that believes that the church is that the church is going through the tribulation and that... How did he put it? That Israel is the bride of Christ, and that we are Israel. Okay, and we were going round and round via email, and he just couldn't get off all the Old Testament passages, and he couldn't rightly divide, and that's where he was getting messed up. And he asked me, how do you know that the bride is not Israel? And I show him in Revelation, if you check it out in Revelation, in Revelation 19 is the second coming, the church has already been judged and glorified at that point. So Israel couldn't be the bride, okay? And that's how you know that the judgment seat of Christ takes place during the tribulation, just not on earth. It takes place in the third heaven, amen? And that's how you know, because in 17 and 18, it's already done. It's already been judged, okay? So that's how you know that the two are not the same. And that's how you know that the judgment seat of Christ takes place during the trib, okay? So let's look at the church, okay? The judgment seat of Christ, this is called. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Start in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Okay? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Okay? So, listen, we have to talk about this judgment, okay? Personally, I believe that only your works are going to be judged here. Okay? Only your works are going to be judged here. Our sin, like I said earlier, our sin was judged already. Sin was taken care of at Calvary. Okay? Death was defeated. All right? And we sing all these songs about how great it's going to be to get to heaven, how great it's going to be to see our Savior, and all of those things. And how can we sing those things if we know that our behavior is going to be judged? You see? Works are one thing. Okay? Whether they be good or bad. Okay? The things done in his body. Whose body? You see? The body of Christ or your body? You see what I'm saying? So personally, I don't think that our sin is going to be judged here. Okay? I think it's going to be our works. Okay? We've already been judged for sin. That's already done with. Okay? Amen? That's our victory. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3. Verses 12 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's what? Work. Of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay, so sin's not even in there. Okay? Sin's not even in there. It's your works. All right? Look at Romans 14, last one. 14:10. This is a good one for the self-righteous. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? We're all in the same boat. Okay? So the best thing to do is just work on you and let God work on the other folks. That's the best thing to do. Okay? You won't go wrong that way, I guarantee it. Okay? You won't be wrong that way. Okay, so the first judgment, one of the judgments in the tribulation is the church, okay, the judgment seat of Christ. The next judgment is Israel, okay, Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24. Now, this is what's going to be taking place on earth for 7 years. Matthew 24, at the same time that the church is being judged in heaven. Basically, the whole chapter is about it, okay? But I want you to look down here, look in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's not grace, is it? No, that's enduring, okay? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, there's your context, okay? We know that's 3.5 years into the trib, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Okay, skip down to 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Okay, so this tribulation is going to be a pretty bad time. Amen. The Lord says, since the beginning, the world has not seen tribulation like this. Okay, since the beginning. Yes, ma'am. Matthew 24. Okay, so Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. As it was in the days of Lot. Amen. So it's going to be a pretty bad time. But it's going to be worse than those two. Okay, it's going to be worse than that. Okay, all right, so all down through there, you'll see that. And then in verse 29, it says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Okay, so it's going to be a bad time during that tribulation. All right, look at Jeremiah 30. Verse 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice trembling of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Okay? This parallels Revelation 12. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. Okay? None is like it. This is going to be a bad time of judgment for the nation of Israel. It's likened to a woman in travail. Childbirth. Okay? That's pain. All right? It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. There's a hint there that the church is not going through the tribulation, but he shall be saved out of it, okay? And it's a little side note here. God calls him Jacob here, and it's called Jacob's trouble, okay? But God changed his name to Israel, right? So why does he refer to him as Jacob, okay? Because Israel going through the tribulation is going to be like the old nature, the old man. So he calls him Jacob. Amen. Once he sets up his throne and he restores Israel, then he'll call him Israel. All right. So that's, you got to watch that kind of stuff too. You got to be able to rightly divide. Okay. So it's Jacob's trouble, not the church. All right. Look at Daniel 12. Daniel 12, talking about the tribulation, and this is Michael. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. He's a representative of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Okay, so it's going to be something that the world has never seen. Okay? Something that the world has never seen. Zechariah. Zechariah 13. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Okay, tribulation passage. All right. Now, the next judgment is the nations. Okay, Dr. Ruckman, when I went down to Jacksonville, Florida, and listen to Dr. Ruckman preach down there. He did an hour and 20-minute Sunday school class on the nations. And there's over 27 references to where the nations are going to be judged. Okay? And every single time, America is part of the nations. Amen? America is a nation. Okay? So you got a lot of people out there saying that we're the promised land, that we're not going to be, that America's not going to be in the judgment. Yes, we are. We are part of the nations. And you will see, America will be one of those nations that comes against Israel. It will be. Why? Because God said so. That's why. Okay? And if you look, you can kind of see that stuff kind of happening now. Because a lot of the stuff that's being done is not in the interest of Israel. Okay? It's not in the interest of Israel. It's in the interest of apostasy, apostate Israel. Okay? So you got to be careful with that, okay? So the nations, look at Revelation real quick. Revelation. Revelation 16. The nations are going to be judged. Revelation 16 and verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's your unholy trinity. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle and of that great day of God Almighty. Okay, so the nations are going to be judged, all right? Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Okay, so the nations are going to be judged, all right? And then there's another one in Zephaniah 3:8. We'll move on here. The religious system of the world is the next judgment. The religious system of the world, Revelation 19, verse 2. Okay. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore. That's Revelation 17 and 18, the world religious system. Okay, the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Okay, so the religious system is going to be judged, all right? Described from Revelation 17 and 18, the great whore, okay, Babylon, okay? So you've got judgment all through there, okay? I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick, okay? Some more judgments. Revelation 16, 7, you got judgment. Revelation 14, 7, judgment. Revelation 15, 4, judgment. 19, 11, judgment, amen? So this is about judgment, okay? What's the plan of salvation? The plan of salvation during the tribulation is not salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not. Okay? It is not. Okay? The plan of salvation, I want to run through these real quick. Matthew 24, 13. Matthew 24, 13. 24, 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay? What gospel is going to be preached? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Okay? So you got to endure till the end, and there's the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? That's what's being preached, and that's part of the plan of salvation. Another one, Revelation 17. Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 4. Revelation 7, verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 and all the... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Revelation 7:14. I thought so. It's supposed to be about the white robes. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? They have washed their robes. Okay? In the blood of the Lamb. Okay? So they had to do it. Okay? The plan of salvation. Martyrs in 12:10. You have to be a martyr. Revelation 12. Okay? They love not their lives. Amen? Revelation 12, verse 10. They love not their lives. Okay? Revelation 12, 17. Look at that one. Revelation 12, 17. Okay? Plan of salvation. Okay? And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. the remnant, okay, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you got the commandments and the testimony of Jesus Christ, okay? That's the plan of salvation, all right? One more, Revelation 14. Revelation 14. The plan of salvation, verse 6. Revelation 14, 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. There's another gospel being preached during the tribulation. Another gospel, the everlasting gospel, okay? Preach unto them, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and every kindred, and every tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, here's the gospel, fear God, and give glory to him. That's the everlasting gospel during the tribulation, okay? It's not salvation by grace through faith, amen? Okay, look at another one, verse 12, 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The commandments and faith, okay? So the salvation is different, okay? So it's not the same through all dispensations like some would have you to think, okay? So in this dispensation, all right, what is man's failure? What is it all the time? What is it all the time? Man would not repent. Man would not repent. Look at Revelation 9 real quick. Revelation 9 about man not repenting, how hard-headed we are. This is how hard-headed we are. Revelation 9 and verse 20 and verse 21. This is how hard-headed we are. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So it's the worst judgment the world has ever seen. God is pouring out his wrath. Okay, in Revelation 14, God pours out his wrath, and it says it's not mixed with anything else, meaning there's no mercy in God's wrath whatsoever during this time period. It is just pure, unadulterated God's wrath. And what does man do with that? This. He doesn't repent, okay? He doesn't repent. So you better get saved now, okay? All the people that want to go through the trib, you better get saved now, okay? Because there's no repentance during that time, amen? Okay? You better get saved now, okay? What was God's attribute during this dispensation? Judgment. The last one was grace, okay? This is a complete contrast. The tribulation is a complete contrast to the dispensation of grace, okay? His attribute is judgment, all right? And we'll wrap it up there. Next week we'll talk about the millennium, okay? So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this book. We just pray, Lord, that you could help us, Lord. Increase our faith to believe this book, Lord. Help us to take it for what it says, Lord, and not have any preconceived ideas or preconceived notions about it, Lord. Help us to just be faithful to you and to study to show thyself approved, Lord. And we just pray now that you will open our hearts and open our minds to receive the preaching of your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.